I saw like a lot of family and friends that couldn't hold the job down. So I said, I bet you I could motivate them to work. So I opened up the restaurant. I'll go up there and I'll start rolling burritos or whatever. And they tell the other workers, the boss does that, the owner. I was asked, if you could put a billboard up on the highway, what would you put on there to motivate young women? I think we were one of the inventors of the breakfast burrito, because let me tell you how that started.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and I am so excited about this episode because I'm here with Carmen Morales, owner of Santiago's Mexican Restaurants. I'm guessing that everyone listening to this episode, at least those in Colorado, has had and loved Santiago's burritos. Santiago's was started by Carmen as a single location restaurant and has grown now to 29 locations, plus remote distribution, plus catering. Santiago's almost, well, in my view, is almost a cult. It's a cult following. My group tailgates at CU football games, and whenever it's breakfast, somebody always volunteers to bring Santiago's, 25, 30, maybe more. So we'll talk about that. Carmen and I are going to talk about demand-driven growth and changing as a leader when going from one location to a statewide business. Lots of other things, too. Carmen, glad you're with me on ProCo 360.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I am a fan. Listeners, I hope it doesn't come across too much. I am a fan. I was so excited. So I gave a quick overview, Carmen, of your, you know, the Santiago's restaurants, but I'm sure you can give us a much better one.
I think I could do that. Huh. I started Santiago's in 1991, and I was working for the state of Colorado Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division and worked with youth. But I saw like a lot of family and friends that couldn't hold a job down. So I said, I bet you I could motivate them to work. So I opened up the restaurant.
Wait, you opened a restaurant just to motivate people to work?
Well, to give them a job.
No way.
Yes.
So, okay, there's got to be more to that, because you must have been already cooking. You must have been already doing something, right? You can't just open a restaurant.
Well, what happened is that my older brother had a heart attack. And so he no longer could do the construction work. So then what we did is me and my sister went and we helped him open a restaurant in Greeley. And then afterwards, I learned how to do all of that. And I was working for the state. And then I thought, I got to open one here in Brighton, hometown.
Really? So what made you think you could even help your brother open one? I mean, is this just a family kind of a tradition? People cook and so they open a restaurant? I mean,
well, no, it's, I think more, I'm a Leo. Maybe that explains it. No, not really. Huh. But what we used to do, I used to be a dance instructor for Ballet Folklorico, and we used to cook for funerals for free and help the community. So I knew how to cook in big amounts.
Is funeral food different from what you make now?
Well, no, because the people that we cooked for, you know, were a lot of the minorities, and it was the green chili, the beans, you know, all of that. Wow. So,
and so you turned that skill into the very first Santiago's?
Yes.
Was the food you helped your brother to turn into a restaurant, was that different from what you did for Santiago's in Brighton?
Pretty much the same. The green chili, that's my mother's recipe.
Yeah.
So we all own it.
So, all right. I've gone to Santiago's many times early in the morning and to order, as I mentioned earlier, 25 or 30. But there are people lined out the door and they're ordering. Some are ordering one or two. Others are ordering, what, 50 or more?
Right. And when I opened the first restaurant, I told my daughters, we have to keep the prices low enough because I want repeat offenders. So that this way they'd come. And then they got addicted to it and they love it and they're always there, and they take them to the office or.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what makes your, I mean, like, it's completely different from like what some others have, you know, like a Chipotle or something, or these big massive things. And, you know, you buy one and then maybe you go back again in a few weeks or whatever. But yours is like, how do you think about the product you want to deliver?
Well, you know, we peel all our own potatoes. We get the big Idaho potatoes and we peel, let me see, 50 pounds. I order 25 boxes every 3 days.
Of 50 pounds?
Of potatoes, yeah. Wow. And we peel them, and then we dice them, and then we fry them there at the restaurant. And same thing with the eggs. We crack them, and yeah. So freshness, that's the point. Everything has to be fresh.
Well, talk about, because you've got restaurants, and I have to admit, I've never actually eaten in one. I've purchased a ton of burritos and taken them with me. But I mean, how much of your business is restaurant business, and you call them restaurants? It seems like so much is takeout.
We have quite a bit of dine-in.
Do you?
You know, yeah. And we'll have family members call and make reservations so they go to have dinner there. A lot of people like the pork chop dinners and other things that a lot of people haven't tried yet.
No, I haven't, and I'm sure many listeners. So I need to make a plan to stop in the restaurant and eat in the restaurant. One near my house is kind of South Broadway, which, gosh, it's always crowded.
Yes.
So, okay. So the background, we got some of the background. But when you decided to start your very first Santiago's, did you consider it like, okay, I'm going to start a business, it's going to grow, it's going to be an enterprise? Were you ambitious in that way?
No. Nope. I just started it, and then my daughter said, I'm working at the bank, but I don't really like it. And so I said, well, then open up a Santiago's. So the second one was in Lafayette, and that was my oldest daughter. So pretty much all of them are family and employees that used to work for me.
Well, they all, I mean, it costs, what does it cost to open a Santiago's? At least $500,000, doesn't it?
No.
No?
No.
Tell me about that.
Well, because I was helping family and others, and I think this is part of our upbringing, you know, that I helped some of the others get the loan and get the business started with the concept that the day that I retire, I'll retire with money, because while the restaurants continue, they'll be paying me.
Yeah. But the idea of starting a restaurant, so you have to get a location, you have to have a commercial kitchen, you have to, you know, do all these things. Like, what is it? And now you've got 29 locations, but the second one was just for your daughter to have a job. So what did that one cost to open?
Not that much, because what I did is I went and bought like used restaurant equipment and just cleaned them all up, and they were spotless, and we put them in there in the meantime. And then I said, then you could buy the new equipment as you go.
Yeah. So you could start a new Santiago's if you're hardworking and resourceful for under $100,000?
Probably.
Wow. And so all these new ones, are they franchises? Are they just people you know who like you and want to work with you?
They're franchise. We had to turn it into a franchise after so many. You know, the federal government wants you to do it this way. So we turned them into franchises. But when I used to work for the Adams County District Attorney's Office, I learned a lot of legal jargon. So I did my own contracts when I first started.
No.
And I was the licensor, and they were the licensee.
Yeah. So when you did that, Carmen, that's like you just basically homegrew this thing. And did you open a new one whenever someone said, I'd like to open a restaurant? Or was it customer driven? How did you decide like when and where to open the next and the next?
Well, some of the restaurants that I opened up were employees that had been with me when I started the first restaurant and had been really good. And so I decided to let them have one, and I went and I would get the loan for them and find the building and help them get it all started, knowing that they would pay back in the future.
Yeah.
So it was a thing of appreciation in my future.
Wow. So you're basically building your retirement based on people that you have worked with and trust.
Correct.
Wow. And so far it's working out?
Yes, definitely.
So you managed this, though, through some really rough times, through COVID and now through inflation. All of your costs have to be soaring like every other restaurant. Margins are getting squeezed. I mean, how are you, in general, coping with all that?
Well, you know, we've had to raise the prices, I think, about 2 years ago. So we really do try to keep things down so that this way we have our customers that can afford to go to Santiago's three, four times a day. And a lot of them are senior citizens. So for them, it's cheaper for them to go to the restaurant and have a meal than to cook at home.
Wow. So I would think then if they're going that frequently, you mentioned three or four times a day. Did you mean three or four a week?
A week.
Okay. Yeah. So then I suppose the staff knows them. They know the staff. Do they eat in the restaurants too? And just sort of, So what does that look like? Is it like sort of the neighborhood gathering?
Yes, I would say that. And I'm there at the restaurant and I'll go talk to all the customers and they all know me and we talk and ask how the family's doing. But it's always been like hands-on.
Which one do you go hang
Brighton.
Out at? Oh, so that's your, yeah, still your.
Right.
You still work in that one?
Yes, we have our offices in Fort Lupton, but I still hang out in Brighton.
Do you cook or just or you serve or what do you, I mean?
A little bit of everything
really?
Still,
you're still doing it all?
Yes.
That's so cool. So because these other ones are, how many franchises do you have now?
30.
And how many are owned by you and your family that are not franchises? Pardon me?
Let me see. Yeah. I have to count them. 7, 8, 9, 10. Probably about 14.
So you own 14, and then there's another 15 or so that are franchises.
Right.
Are you trying to grow the franchise business? Are you like going to franchise shows and trying to get Santiago's? You're shaking your head. No.
No. It's all just kind of been like, if we cross paths, and you know.
Are they all doing well?
Yes, they are.
Wow. And I know because of franchise law, you can't tell me what they're doing exactly. But everybody who owns one makes a living?
Yes.
That's great. And how many employees then basically the number of employees really translates to your future potential growth. If your franchisors have have good employees, are they finding their way to you to build new ones?
They might be, you know, it's just like, the thing is that when you start a business, it's always hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell everybody that they have classes for alcoholics, but they do not have them for workaholics. So I am so stuck here.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. And so the thing is that the control to make sure that things are going correctly the way they should. And we have our quarterly meetings with all the owners and we come together and we discuss everything.
This is so unusual for me to hear because most of the people I've spoken with throughout my career that are franchising whatever their business. I mean, the whole idea of franchising is so that they can scale. They want to grow fast. They want to, you know, explode their business, whether they want to go public or whatever they want. But I mean, it's all growth mindset. Yours is, you have a different mindset, don't you?
Yeah. The goals are different, you know, and just based on, you know, we're just still looking at making things better and doing the best we can. And that's why we've held it to this size.
But it is hard, isn't it, to get, like you mentioned you're a workaholic. All of your franchisees may have different views about running a restaurant, running a Santiago's. No, they all the same?
Well, a lot of them are my nephews. And yeah, so I just tell them, hey, your dad said to tell you this.
That's great. All right, take a quick break here. Listeners, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 4 years running. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is a podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Carmen Morales, owner of Santiago's Mexican Restaurants. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. Kinsley Meetings is ProCo 360's longest running sponsor. They are growing and continue to grow based on a great reputation for planning and conducting meetings with all kinds of variables and all over the world. Also, Via Technologies, thanks for hosting ProCo 360. Really appreciate all the help your team gives me around managing the website. Colorado Biz Magazine and ProCo 360 are partners. We're building our audiences together. And Denver Angels, we've also developed a partnership to feature great Colorado companies. Go to ProCo360.com and check out all these sponsors and supporters. Back to Carmen. So this is an interesting conversation. I mentioned that it's really kind of different from what I thought because most franchisors are all about growth. You're about providing opportunities for people, sounds like, who you like or who you think need opportunities.
Correct.
You told me about a billboard, that if you could put up a billboard to speak to young people, young women in particular, talk about that.
I was asked, if you could put a billboard up on a highway, what would you put on there to motivate young women? And I said, all you need is three words. And the gentleman looked at me, three words, and I go, yep, it's just, yes, you can.
And have you spoken about that with a lot of young Latinas?
Yes. I speak to all the kids that go to the restaurant, and I always talk to them. So I'm always trying to do the motivational thing with them. I'm a motivator, so yeah.
Do they listen? Do they think, oh, I just want to eat my burrito? Or do they just say, talk to me?
Yeah, they really do. And then the parents will call me and say, Carmen, I really appreciate you stopping at the table and talking to the kids.
That's so cool. And community, even on your website, you talk about community. Share some of that.
Right. I grew up in a family of 10, 7 boys and 3 girls. But we didn't have much, but my mother was one of those persons that when a neighbor was sick, she would cook extra food and we'd run over to take it to the family. And that's how we grew up, was helping others. So when after we had the restaurants going, we decided to do charity fundraising. And so it's been 24 years that we've been doing local fundraising. And the charity has to be a local organization. It's all youth organizations. Mm. And their administrative costs have to be 10% or less. So we know 90% is going to the children. So this year we chose the Anchor Center, and which is the Center for Blind Children. And we raised $440,000. So throughout the years, we've raised over $3 million that we've given back. And our customers will sell chocolates, and they'll buy them, and they'll donate, they'll round up, and then our golf tournaments. And it's just been amazing. Our community really gets involved.
That's that's an astounding number for, what really is a small to mid-sized business to be able to generate millions of dollars for charitable causes in the community. That must make you happy.
Oh, yeah. It's important.
Wow. You can't see the listeners. You can't see Carmen's huge smile as she talks about this, but that's amazing. And Carmen, also with community, you had mentioned something about an auction, right? Talk about that.
I made all this false money, and I said, we're going to have an auction. Here's your money. And so then I had a yacht and a mansion, $1 million, a career, education, all these things. And I said, okay, let's start the bidding. Everything went first except for education. And then I said, okay, let's go back. What could happen to that yacht? Oh, it could sink. That mansion, it could burn. And that $1 million, you could spend it all. I said, okay, with education, you could have all of that. Mm. And no bank come and repossess it. Nobody's going to take that away from you because it's yours. You own it. Mm-hmm. And so then they'd say, oh, can we do the auction again? I said, no, because you're all going to buy education.
That's great.
And their parents would say, after your class, the dinner table is just everything you told him.
Wow. Question, you mentioned working hard, being a workaholic. I mean, where does that come from, this work ethic that you have?
I think it's my mother, she did everything, and in those days they had the washing machine with the wringer and you had to put the water in the washer. Oh my gosh, yeah. And with 10 of us in the family, there was a lot of clothes to wash, a lot of food to cook. So you learn to do that. It's just like you work all day.
Hmm. That was my wife grew up on a farm, and the way she describes her life, way different from mine in the city. Same kind of thing for you, it sounds like.
Right.
And that's just the expectation. Do you ever, if you're not working, are you comfortable? Can you just relax?
I know. Somebody asked me, when are you going to retire? I go, no, I don't think so, because if I retire, I'll start another business. I'm that type of person. I can't sit still.
Yeah. Well, talk about the mindset change that you've had to have, because when you started your own business, you started a restaurant, my guess is, but maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, this will be it. I'll open one. And that would be, is that as far as, or were you thinking this was going to be a big business that was going to grow and expand multiple?
No, I always tell people I didn't have time to think. I was too busy working. Huh. So it's just kind of, those opportunities happen, yeah, and you take them.
But you have, then you had a change from being somebody, although you still work. I know you still work in the Brighton restaurant, but your day isn't just working in the restaurant now. Now you have to worry about, pardon me?
In the office.
In the office at the restaurant. But you spend your time differently. You think about different things, don't you, than when you had one restaurant?
Oh, correct.
How did you shift your mindset and become a capable entrepreneur versus a, you know, owner of a single restaurant?
I don't know. I don't think it was that difficult because the different places that I worked at, I had all this experience. Hmm. So with all the different experiences, it was easy to continue to grow because I always tell people you should never have a no fear.
Yeah, but you work for the government, which is generally considered not the most entrepreneurial place you can be.
But when I work for the government, you see a lot of people that go through there and their needs and those things also, you know.
So you're sensitive to what that sort of nature of the customer.
Right.
Huh. So what do you think you did right in the first Santiago's that's like, okay, I can build on this? Because most restaurants fail.
Right. Well, the thing is, after – I always tell this story because it's funny. But my mother had 5 boys and no girls. And so her patron saint was St. Jude. So she gets St. Jude. She was pregnant. And she wraps up him up in one of her towels that she embroidered, you know. And she told him, you're not coming out until I have a girl. So I was born. And then after me, she had another boy. So I always used to kid and tell everybody, I'm the miracle baby. So I could do anything. And it's just, you know.
Is that it? Is it a mindset for you? Just you can do anything? And
yes.
That's it?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That seems like it served you well.
Yes, because even with the employees, when they call me and they say, hey, this is broken, I said, did you try to fix it? It's already broken, right? And they'll say, yeah. I said, okay, well, you try to fix it first. And if you can't fix it, then I'll call.
Nice. I like that. So they know basically to try to fix it before they start.
Correct.
Yeah, good for you.
Don't make me go over there.
Yeah. So what have you done differently as far as, you know, from 1 to 29, have you started to have systems for ordering food, for making food, for doing things that are different than you did with just one?
Yes, we all have to purchase from the same vendors so that we're all getting the same quality. Mm-hmm. And when I met with the owners, I bought these little plastic toolboxes, and I put everything that they needed to run their restaurant. I said, there's your toolbox. There's your recipes. That's customer service. Everything. Those are your tools, and you use them every day. So, but that's what I do.
You know, that is so funny. It's almost, you know, sort of like understated because, you know, normally franchisors have, you know, rules and policies and all of this stuff, and sounds like you could put it all in a small package and say, go do this my way, this
right
way. Wow. Do people, you know, people are franchisees, so sometimes they want to try things their way.
They know better not to do that.
So have you had to have some of those conversations?
No, not really.
No?
They know that it's very strict, and that's what they have to do, and they have to follow everything to a T.
You're pretty sweet sounding. I guess if they try to go against that, then maybe you're less sweet.
Right. Like I tell everybody, I grew up with 7 brothers and I know how to defend myself. So don't make me go over there.
Oh, how funny. So Santiago's is famous now. We talked about that. I mean, across the entire Front Range. What role has Colorado played? I mean, could you have done this anywhere? Has Colorado been very specifically a place that you're glad you are?
No, Colorado is amazing. My parents were from New Mexico, and a lot of the family moved to Colorado for the jobs. And so I had a bunch of family that lived in Brighton. So that's where I opened the first one. So yeah, it was smooth sailing.
Cool. Now, thinking all the way back, to when you first started, like, is there anything you wish you had known when you were starting that now you know and you're like, wish I'd known that?
Not really.
Really?
I have a mentality that I do not like this word, and it's called failure. I do not agree with that word whatsoever, because if you tried, you did not fail. You might have to do it a different way or do something else, but you do not fail if you're trying.
Which is why I guess you want people to try to fix something before they call you.
Correct.
Yeah. What's something that you, you know, as you look back, you're like, yeah, I failed at that. Okay.
I didn't fail.
You never did.
I don't see that. I don't use that word. It's not in my vocabulary.
Wow. Okay. So what's your favorite advice to give?
Is, you know, you keep trying until it works. That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't give up. Why would you give up on yourself?
Did Santiago ever feel like it was going to fail when you were starting it up? Did you hit any hurdles that just made you wonder whether you could make this work?
Not really, because I was still working full time, and then I'd go to the restaurant and work there.
Wow.
So the money was there to continue, because when you start off, you're not going to be making the big bucks right away. So I kept my job and did that also.
So that means you were working the restaurant. That's interesting, because the restaurant, when you were working two jobs, was an evening restaurant. But it sounds like. No,
it was day and night.
It was so, but because right now it's like you're famously known for your breakfasts.
Correct.
You couldn't work breakfast while you were working your other jobs,
no,
did you?
But the staff that I had were trained, and this is what we made, and this is the menu.
Got it. So when you think back, like, what's one of your favorite stories about sort of starting this business, getting involved in the business, the whole thing, Carmen?
I think it's just the contact. I've always been a people's person. I enjoy speaking to people. I enjoy the youth. I used to run a senior citizens group also, and I took them all to Las Vegas, Nevada for some of them.
No,
it was their
way.
First airplane flight.
That sounds like a movie.
First time to Nevada, and it was amazing. And when their children would call them and say, hey, Mom, I need a babysitter. No. Today, I'm meeting with Carmen. And we had an amazing time. And they were an amazing group. And then I had the youth in my other program. And people would ask me, is it difficult to make that transition working with youth and then going with senior citizens? I go, nope, they're both the same.
Really? So when you say that, what do you mean?
They're funny. I mean, they do things too that, you know, just, okay, you guys. But the seniors were lovely. I mean,
well, you know, it seems like both children and seniors, like, they don't care as much about the stresses and the day-to-day stuff, right?
They just, and I think maybe that's what made it so easy.
Live more freely.
And so when I had this summer youth program, I did a program where I wanted the youth to connect with senior citizens. So we did a free lawn mowing program. So the kids would go and mow the lawns for the senior citizens. And when they went there, the senior citizens would make them lemonade and cookies. And that relationship was beautiful.
That's wonderful. Really nice. You know, it sounds like a lot of the things you do, Carmen, you do from the heart. And you do because you're a family-owned company. When you look at people that I'm sure as you've grown, you've become acquainted with leaders of bigger companies that are sort of corporate-owned or even public or whatever the case. I mean, I don't think you'd be suited for one of those kind of jobs, would you?
No.
What do you think
of
that?
I'm hands-on. Yeah. I'm hands-on. You know, it's like I could tell the worker, hey, you do that because I've done that. And I know how to do it. So, and they even get surprised. Some of the new workers, when I go in and I see they have a bunch of orders, I'll go up there and I'll start rolling burritos or whatever. And they tell the other workers, the boss does that. The owner can. They said, oh, yeah, you don't know her.
That's cool. And so do you sound like you get along great with everybody. Yeah.
I think that's so important.
Mm. Do you ever feel like, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. Does it ever get tiring?
No.
Come on.
Really? It really doesn't. It's, you know, something to wake up in the morning and let's get going.
Do you take vacation or anything?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you? Good. Yeah. What do you do for vacation?
I love cruises and been to Europe and just visiting and seeing all the different cultures, beautiful cultures.
Yeah. So does that, do you go for a long time to take time off?
No. 1 week.
1 week. That's it. Then you're back. Then you're back on the job.
Correct.
What else should we know about you before we wrap up?
I think that we really, really appreciate all our customers. And the other thing is that I think we were one of the inventors of the breakfast burrito, because let me tell you how that started.
Yeah.
Our family is Catholic, and so during Lent, we had to go to Mass every day before school.
Wow.
So my mother would send us, and she'd make breakfast burritos. And so after Mass, and we'd eat our breakfast burrito on the way to school.
And so that became essentially the Santiago's burrito?
Yeah.
How much of your business, before I wrap up, I have to ask you this. How much of your business is breakfast burritos that go out the door?
Oh, gee, we sell millions of...
Do you really sell millions?
Yes, of breakfast burritos, definitely. Amazon will call us and order 5,000 breakfast burritos. Yeah.
To, for the, like their warehouse or something?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
5,000 at a time?
Yes. And so being the owner, and I'd tell, call up the restaurants, okay, you're going to make this many, and we'll all meet there at this time with all the food in the Cambros, maintaining their heat, and we take them and deliver.
5,000 at a time.
Oh, yeah.
So
and so what I want to do is I want to get a platinum record for the fastest wrappers.
Oh, that's fun. Is there any kind of Guinness World Record for how many burritos get delivered at one time? There might need to be one. They are great. But no, I don't think in my life I've had 5,000. I don't think I will. But oh, my God, that's funny. Excellent. Well, let's wrap up with that. Is there something else that we should talk about Santiago's? What's your plan going forward?
One day at a time.
That's the plan. You know, it's so funny because I recently was talking to Jake Jabs of American Furniture Warehouse. You've probably met Jake.
Right.
And someone asked him this program, like, Jake, you know, how do you decide your goals and so forth? He said, he doesn't believe in goals. He just believes in serving the customers the best he can. It sounds like you're kind of on that wavelength.
Right.
Your growth comes from?
Our customers.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that... We do very, very little advertising because I tell everybody, oh, my customers advertise for me for free, so I don't have to do it.
We'll wrap up on that note. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Carmen Morales, owner of Santiago's Mexican Restaurants. I keep going to your restaurants, and I love it. So, but now I'm going to think about it so differently. So thanks for visiting with me on ProCo 360.
Thank you so much.
Oh, listeners, make sure you go and continue listening to ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. And if you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.